You know, I don't know about you, but we do need to live with that certain level of expectation in our life of what we want. If not, as you've all, many of you have probably noticed, some of you young people probably haven't noticed it yet, but you will, is the fact that life goes by fast. And unless we have a plan, unless we have some sort of an idea of what it is we want to do, we're going to see life go by too fast and we're going to miss out. Now, as you get a little older, I don't know, have you ever felt like you're seeing things? You know, something out of the corner of your eye? You know they're not there, but still you know you saw something. You know, there's something there. And at least, you know, maybe you thought you saw it, but then all of a sudden, you know, we're told that your eyes are playing tricks on you. And that could be. It's kind of like a mirage. I've never really seen a mirage before. I've never really spent a lot of desert time, a little bit when I was in Egypt. You know, but I stayed pretty close to the oasis and drank a lot of water, so I was okay. But, you know, sometimes I believe it's good for us to see things. You know, especially when it comes to the things of God, because I think it's biblical that you and I have that ability to see things that maybe other people can't see. I believe that we always need to be looking on the horizon for what's coming. Because there's always something coming. Now, the passage of Scripture that I want to share today is Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. As they advance up on the screen. Amen. The Bible says, "As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to come together in this country and to celebrate freely our Lord, as we can raise our hands, we can clap, we can bow our heads, whatever. But Lord, right now we just ask that you anoint your word. We anoint this message, Lord, to change our lives. Lord, help us to be able to receive from what you have for us today. Challenge us. And Lord, I yield to that gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words above pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. What I felt the Lord kept bubbling out of me, I woke up out of bed, and praise God, Kaylee gave me her bed down there. That was awful nice of her. She went to the couch. And I was laying there, all of a sudden I just woke up, and all of a sudden God spoke, "Live in the future. Live in the future." And we kind of touched on that a little bit before I left, and we talked about, you know, what that kind of pertains to. We're going to explore it a little bit more. Now, what I think about living in the future, because a lot of wild thoughts can come through our mind, but to me it's living like you are where you want to be and not where you are now. Because what I found out in my life is that if I continually just accept where I am right now and think that this is all there's ever going to be, my situation and my circumstances don't change. So I have to get to the place like Abraham. Now you got to put this in perspective. We're going to look at it a little bit better. This was an old man, and he was married to an old woman. But yet God gave him a promise. And that promise was able to carry him through. And so as we live in the future, the first point I want to look at today is the fact that we do need to stand on a promise. Now what a promise is the word is a seed and our heart is an incubator. Now when I was a little boy, I don't know how old I was, probably maybe 12, 13 years old. You know, we enjoyed hunting. And we had bird dogs and stuff, and so we would go hunt quail. And I really don't know how this all transpired, but one year, maybe it was for Christmas, my mom bought me an incubator to raise some quail. Now, so what that is that as we did that, you know, and to be honest, I really don't know what I would have done if they hatched. Have you ever thought about that? How many know it's easier taking care of an egg than it is a little baby bird? You know, I've been down that road as a kid. We've all found baby birds and tried to nurse them to health. Life expectancy is really low in that situation, at least what I've found out in my life. You know, not very many of the little animals like that I tried to save did not make it. So what this incubator was about, and I'll be honest, an incubator is very special to me because when I first came into this planet, I weighed 5 pounds. And they put me in an incubator. And that was up in Knoxville. I was born up in Knoxville. We live closer to Knoxville than Albie, although we're on the county line. And that's where, you know, I was born. So, Ben's, I was so little, they put me in this machine, and it kept me warm. And that's what an incubator is. It has these little light bulbs under there, and it's like their mama setting on them, but yet it keeps the eggs warm, so they'll grow, you know, that little birdies will grow inside, and they'll hatch. Now, as far as I was concerned, I was spent one day in the incubator. Somebody else was born smaller than me, and they kicked me out. They only had one incubator back then. You know, life was hard back then, you know. And so they booted me out in the real world, and I survived. But my quail eggs did not. They were supposed to hatch in a certain period of time. You know, and I'm sure I was there looking at them and saying, come on, let's go, you know, let's see this happen, you know. But they never hatched. As a matter of fact, if I remember, it was a long time ago. You know, I finally maybe opened one of them up, and I think I cooked them. As I look back, you know, they didn't survive. Now, I don't know if they gave me some bad eggs or what, you know. I mean, how hard is it to plug in something and just watch, you know? But it didn't work out. And of course, shipping was back then. I don't think there was UPS back then. There might have been. And I'm sure they had a rough trip wherever they came from. But, you know, that incubator story for me didn't really pan out. But yet it shows me really how, because when you and I get a promise from God, it's a seed. The Word of God is a seed, and you know, and we unite our faith with it, and it gets fertilized, and we have this little egg inside of us, you know, that we're carrying around. And when it comes to the promise of God, sometimes God just gives us a little glimpse, like it was. Sometimes we're seeing things. You know, sometimes, you know, God showed me little glimpses of really what He wants to do in this church. You know, I haven't seen the full picture totally all the time, but yet every now and then I get a little glimpse, and, you know, that gives me a little bit of encouragement. And sometimes what I've found out, I don't know, maybe you haven't found this out, but I think you have, that sometimes it's hard to make a glimpse of reality. Have you ever had a dream? Have you ever had something that God put inside of you? And you know that it's going to happen, but yet it's not a reality yet. And to be honest, in the natural, there's no way that it's ever going to come to pass. Never. You can't see it. Due to the situation, due to the circumstances that you're in right now, it just doesn't look like it's going to work. And that's a hard time. Now, God spoke to Abraham, and that's good when God speaks to us. And I do believe God talks to His people. I believe He'll speak inside of us. It may not be an audible voice. You know, that's up to God how He wants to talk to us. You know, but never thou inside, but, you know, He speaks to us on the inside. And sometimes we get that little glimpse, and that's what happened to Abraham. He had a little more of a conversation with God than, you know, we do sometimes. But Abraham told him, hey, Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the sand. That's what your descendants are going to be like. He was an old man, and he was married to an old woman. And they'd been trying for years. To have children, especially in that culture, was a major thing. If you didn't have any children, you know, you're kind of looked down upon to some degree. And, you know, here Abraham was a man of prominence. He had a lot of stuff, but he didn't have the one thing that he really wanted. And that was an heir that was born to him. Oh, he had a nephew. His name was Lot. And then later on, he'd come along with another one. Now, something that we forget sometimes is, I don't know how many 75-year-olds we have here today, but that's when God spoke to Abraham and made the promise. He was 75. I think Sarah's about 10 years younger. And he spoke to him and told him that, look at those stars. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Look at that sand. That's how many descendants you're going to have. You can't count them. He never had a kid. But God said that's what's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, if God's ever told you something that was very overwhelming. But that probably made an impact on this man of God. Now, he's a faithful man. But what it did, it put a picture, and that's what you and I need. Many of us deal better with pictures than we do just words. And it put a picture inside Abraham, and what it was is, I don't know about you, but you know, we live in a small town, we can see the stars, but if you go to a big town sometimes because of the city lights, it's hard to see. But you know, when you go out and you lay your head down, maybe you're outside, and you look up and you see all those stars. So every night when Abraham laid down, he could see the promise. Every morning that he woke up, he could look down, because there was sand there, and he could see the promise. That's why God used those little pictures for him. He used those pictures so that he could keep the promise and keep that promise alive, because what really happened, it took 25 years before he got the promise. Now, knowing our culture and knowing how you and I are, we would have gave up a long time ago, wouldn't we? Be honest. We can't wait 25 years for stuff like that. See, my wife and I, we had trouble having kids in the beginning. You know, it didn't look like we were supposed to have kids. You know, but God has a sense of humor. You wait till we quit our jobs, and we went to the country of Greece and was living there. Then we found out we were going to have a kid. You know, praise God. You know, here back here, we had everything all covered, and then over there, we were uncovered a little bit. You know, but God is faithful. And, you know, we waited. We didn't have to wait that long because we'd only been married, you know, 4 or 5 years perhaps. But 25 years to wait for something from God, for a promise, you know, that would definitely take a little of the starch out of us a little bit. Now, one thing that you and I have to remember, if you have a promise from God, is that it's God's promise. And it's God's responsibility to bring the promise to pass. And see, that's where we get in trouble. We get a promise from God. We get direction from God. We think God's telling us to do something. It's not going fast enough. So, God needs help. Right? God can't handle this. He needs me. Right? I'm going to help God. But technically, really all you and I need to do is just keep it incubated. How hard is it to plug in and keep the light on? Just keep it warm. Just keep it warm. You know, through prayer, standing on the Word, keeping that picture, keeping that vision in front of you, holding on to that dream, keeping it where it's a safe place, tucked in there where nobody can get to it, where the devil can't come in and take it away from you. Because that incubator, just as it keeps that egg warm, you know, as we keep that vision or that promise alive from God, God's going to bring it to pass. And next, we have to have right thinking. Now, sometimes we have the misunderstanding of what happens in the Bible. We think these guys or girls in the Bible, everything is just going to be perfect for them because God put His mark on them. But what I read, there is no God bubble. Just like there's no God bubble for you and I to some degree. We're out there in the elements. We're fighting the good fight of faith. The enemy is trying to come in to steal our dream and steal our passion, steal everything that that God has spoken inside of us. What God is trying to do is to refine our faith so our faith rises up. Because here's the problem. We don't like the journey. But the journey is how you learn things so when you get to the promise, you're ready. But we want to go to the promise immediately. And when we get there, we're not ready. Don't fight the journey. The journey is a time of teaching. It's a time of preparation. And really, that's what Abraham was going through as God was refining him. He is considered the father of faith. I would love that on my tombstone. The father of faith. And that's how God regarded him. He lived in that real world, and he dealt with real situations. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, as we all do. So this promise for Isaac took 25 years. 10 years into the promise, his wife gets a little agitated. She wants a kid, just like a lot of women. They want a kid. I want it now. Well, 10 years into the promise, she gets a great idea, which wasn't so great, that has Abraham go into her handmaiden to have a child so she could have a child through her handmaiden. And that's where Ishmael come from. Now, that wasn't the way that God wanted to do it, because God was specific. He said, you and Sarah are going to have a child. So 10 years in, they messed up. Well, God honored that mess up and blessed them. And I'll be honest, you know, this sounds cold, but if Abraham wouldn't have had an Ishmael, we would not have had a 9/11. Just as simple as that. There would be no, you know, nation like that. But nevertheless, because the covenant mark was on God, on Abraham, that nation rose up and they populated and, you know, and did all that because they were part of the blessing. They were tapped in. And that's just how God operates. Now, God did not kick Abraham to the curb. A lot of times we think that when we mess up, God's going to kick us to the curb. We're messed up. God's not going to use us now. That's not true. God did not kick him to the curb. God still used Abraham. He had to wait 15 more years, you know, until it was time, until everything, you know, was arranged the way it was. Now, what happens with us, we get like, you know, that situation where we get ahead of God. And what happens, I really believe this is speaking to somebody. I believe there's people here living financially in the future, and they should not be yet. It's called Visa. It's called Visa. And you're living where you want to be, and that's not what God wanted. You know, you need to live financially where you need to be right now. We need to adapt a principle in our life. It's the 10-10-80 principle. 10 to God, 10 to savings, 80 you live on. I encourage you to check that out. Put a budget together. Take your money. The first 10% goes to God, local church. Next 10%, you need to open a savings account. And you need to try to start saving money and putting it away for a rainy day fund. And then that 80% is what you live your life on. And as you start to honor God with the first, the 10, your 80 is starting to grow and your 90% is starting to grow. I've been tithing for 30 years. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I'm not bragging, but we've given over probably $120,000. That's a house. I don't regret one bit of it. I wish I was making more money, and I want to make more so I can give more. But see, it's the long haul. It's the step by step, doing exactly what God wants us to do and being faithful to Him, and then we start to get to the place where we need to be. Abraham tithed. He was the first tither. He gave 10% of his income to God. He wouldn't take nothing from the heathen king or whatever. He wanted to just have God bless him. Now, that's another story in itself. Lastly, we need to see right. And this is where we need to get to the place. Because sometimes if we take our focus, you know, that's why the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because we fix our eyes on our circumstance. We fix our eyes on what's going on, instead of what could be. Now, I see Abraham. He was probably sitting there in that 25 years, had a lot of time with his wife. He's probably looking across that camel and looking at Sarah. And then he'd look at the stars. He'd look at the sand. Then he'd look back at Sarah. And that didn't add up. Didn't add up. No way, Jose, is that woman there going to be able to do that. Can't see it. If he kept his focus on Sarah. But he knew Sarah was not the source. God was the source. So when we look at our circumstances, if we know that God has put a promise inside of us, and there's a lot of promises in the Bible, you know, do we see possibility or impossibility? And I'll be honest, people, it's a long life. And there's the ebb and flow of life, like the ocean, it comes in and it goes out. And all these things that we have to deal with, that's why we need to stay connected to each other. We need each other to encourage each other. Excuse me. To encourage each other.
so that, that we stay built up and that we stay strong, and so we don't get discouraged and the enemy come in there to try to rob the greatness of God that's inside of us. God has put inside of each and every one of us some greatness. Greatness. Because he put himself inside of us. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Are you willing to take that journey? We need to learn how we can see the things that aren't there yet. Now, verse 19, it said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was 100, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, Abraham didn't just ignore the situation. He sized it up. He could tell that it can't be him, it's got to be God, but he kept his eye on God. And as he held on to that promise, because that's what helps our faith grow. See, just going through the battle doesn't increase our faith, but when we hold on to a promise in the battle is what increases our faith. That's how we grow. That's how we start to mature and get to the place, where we can start to be better utilized by God. Now, you and I have a tendency to call things as though they are. I'm broke. Don't have nothing. No future. Dead-end job. Did I mention that? But I'll tell you what, if you hold on to God, God can bless you in your situation. He can bless you in your situation. And he can make a new situation. God has recreated situations in my life ever since I've met him. And I've had a lot of situations that maybe weren't as good as I wanted, but yet I hung on to God and I hung on to his promise. And I stayed faithful to my wife. And we worked this out together. And we got to the place that we needed to be. And we're still going because I know we're not there yet. We're still on our journey. We're all on the journey. So the journey sometimes cannot be as fun because you go through some things. There's a few dips. You know what I mean? In the road. Where you lose. Have you ever been driving and talking to somebody on your phone? Or no, you were riding and talking to somebody on your phone and you went down in a low spot. What happened? You lost reception, you thought. Well, you kind of did. And see, that's what it's like for you and I. When we hit them little dips in life, it seems like we lose reception. But just hang on. You're going to come out of that hole. You get reconnected. Just keep on moving, doing the last thing God told you to do. So instead of calling things as they are, we need to line our mouth up. We need to start calling things as though they need to be. Maybe you don't feel blessed, but you need to say you're blessed. Maybe you don't feel like you can accomplish something, but you need to say that you can with God's grace and with God's strength. And start to utilize and to work God's principles, and then as you do that. See, in the natural, when he was 75, God told him he's going to have some kids. And then about 100, it took place. I don't know about you, what I'm going to be like when I'm 100. But, praise God. It kind of lifts the bar a little bit, don't it, guys? Kind of lifts that bar a little bit. And truth be known, Abraham, even after his wife died, I think he had some other kids, if I remember the story right. But that's something else, isn't it? See, God has the ability to give life to the dead. Maybe your dream is dead right now. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you don't think it's coming. But God has that ability. And as we want to live in the future, we just need to develop a way to be able to see that future so we know that God can start to bring it to pass. Now, we know that God's going to watch over it. But I do believe there's a lot of things in our life that God uses. I don't believe God is a bad God. I'm sorry, this is my theology. God does not bring bad things to me to teach me something. I'm not that stupid. That's the devil. But I will say this. My Father will take every situation, even if a bad one, and he'll help me to learn through it. Bad things have happened to my kids. I didn't want them to happen, but they did. And I help my kids through it by showing them how they can hold on to God in that situation, to learn from that and then be a stronger person on the other side. And that's what God wants to do for our lives. Hold on to your dream. Hold on to that desire. Keep an incubator. Keep it warm. Stay connected with other people. Stay connected mostly with God, but we need each other. You know, just to fan the flames of faith and power working in our life. Because we're here for such a short time compared to eternity. And I want to leave my mark. I don't know what you guys want to do, and I encourage you to do that. But I want to be missed when I'm gone. To some degree. I don't want nobody crying. You know, that's not what I'm going after. But I want the devil to know. I want the devil to go, whew. Glad he's gone. He's hard to handle. Don't want no more of that guy. Mm-mm. Too much for me. And we can get there if we just hang on and keep going. Let's pray.